This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you've been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to we want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail the mission? Your girl is out of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my tables turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is finally here. It is March 14th. It is Thursday. And finally, we can stop talking about the AAC tournament and start being about it, John Martin. Your Tigers tip off today in that AAC tournament. Your fifth-seeded Tigers playing Tulane at 2 o'clock. We all know the deal. Here you go, John Martin. It starts today, your first step, hopefully, towards the AAC's automatic NCAA tournament berth. Will it happen?
I don't know.
We'll just beat Tulane.
Will that happen? That will happen.
All right, you can guarantee me that one?
I can absolutely blood bank guarantee that they will win today.
I appreciate it. Thank goodness.
Otherwise, we're going to burn mattresses and throw them off the top of the forum. Is that fair? I think that's a fair reaction.
I mean, Tulane does have a former NBA head coach.
Okay. Well, Memphis has a former NBA player. So, they suck.
I'm just throwing it out there.
They are terrible. I'm not doing this with y'all.
I'm not doing it either.
Yes.
Yeah, not losing to Tulane.
It is March, ladies and gentlemen, and the AAC tournament gets underway in about an hour. It begins in just about an hour.
Can you feel it?
Yes. It is either excitement or indigestion, and I can't tell which. So
it's excitement, John.
Is it excitement? Okay. Yeah. So, the AAC tournament is happening in just a little bit. Very excited about it. We'll both be down there for full coverage. You can follow us on Twitter at JasonSmith929, at JohnMartin929.
And Benador.
Benador is not going to be down there. He's told me this weekend he will be attending the soccer match.
But you can follow him.
You can follow him, but not for AAC tournament
coverage.
No,
I'll be on FM 100 this afternoon.
Yeah, so he's going to be doing FM 100, playing old Michael Jackson on FM 100.
Don't play Michael.
Here's what we have going on the show today.
My Lord.
At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Mark Adams. Mark Adams, of course, is a college basketball analyst for ESPN. He's in town. He'll be on the call for various games throughout this tournament. We will talk to Mark Adams about Memphis, about Jeremiah Martin. What else would you like to talk to Mark Adams about, just generally?
I need to ask him who his Memphis X Factor is. What is he on Twitter? Enthusiasm Adams?
Enthusiasm.
He's always enthusiastic about the AAC and all teams in the AAC. He's even enthusiastic about Tulane.
Enthusiasms.
My point is that Mark Adams watches this league closely, and I want to know who his Tigers X Factor is. We all know Jeremiah Martin's got to be big in this week and in this tournament for Memphis. Who's Mark's X Factor for the Tigers?
We will ask Enthusiasms about all of that in the very next segment. At 12:25, we're going to be joined by Nathan Hoover. Nathan Hoover, of course, is the Wofford Terrier guard averages he averages a lot of points.
13, 14, 30.
Yeah, he averaged 13, 14. Shoots 46%, 47% from three. Had 20 in the championship game there.
In the second half.
Yeah. So we will talk to him. He's a Memphian, went to Arlington High School right here just outside of Memphis. So we will talk to Nathan Hoover about his season. We will get his thoughts on the tournament and talk a little Memphis with him. He, of course, as you know, played for Ernie Kuiper in M33M as well as Team Thad. So and our man Norton Hurd the fourth. So obviously lots of very interested parties in this interview.
As well as Don Deaton over at Arlington.
Don Deaton, but certainly not least of all, our man Ernie Kuiper, who again.
And Hurd.
But most of all, like I
and
said,
Deaton.
Ernie Kuiper, just really excited about the interview. One of his own.
Thank you.
So we will talk to Nathan Hoover.
For Ernie to hear it.
Yeah, I am as well. At 12:25. And then at 1:25, we are going to talk to Jeff Calkins. He'll be in studio with us. We're going to get a very special treat. He says he doesn't even care that much about Tulane. He'd rather be in studio with us. So we will talk
to
him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's how seriously he's taken that game. So he will be in studio with us.
I hope we're not jinxing it.
I know. But he will be in studio with us at 1:25. Lots to get to on the show today, including your city of Memphis. I mean, earlier this week, we found out we were a soccer town. I told you this is a sports town. I got some more data for you that I'm going to give you a little bit later about a different sport that we are coming in very high on the rankings on in terms of viewership. So I'll do that. That's a tease.
All right.
So stick around. We'll do that later in the show. But right now, Jason, I look at you almost as like sometimes like my black grandfather sometimes.
That seems silly.
Because
I'm not that old.
Because, you know, you can really tell a good story.
Why not just your black father? You don't like the way that sounds?
Not really.
Okay.
I'd rather you be my grandfather, if we're being honest.
Okay.
You know, be kind of weird if you're my dad.
Black dad.
But
That makes you uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, you started this.
It does. I didn't start that.
Where are you going is where I'm
well,
interested.
Well, I want you
That's
to tell
we're
me.
We're all interested in.
It is March, and the Tigers are about to embark on what many believe is an unlikely run to the conference championship game. And maybe they will punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. And I want you to give me a reason why I should believe. Why I should believe in this team. Even though they're going to have to go through Houston and Cincinnati. So if I can have a little help from the orchestra, please, I would like to clear the floor for you, my black grandfather, to tell me why
the
Tigers have a chance.
A little story. A little loud, Bennett. Let granddad speak, be able to talk over that. Tell you a little story about a man named Jeremiah Martin, who averaged 30.7 points in the month of February.
Big up, granddad.
Made it feel like... Right? Like anything's possible this season, and there might be more in store than maybe we had all even hoped. Much like, not exactly like, but much like a Memphis team in 1994-95, John, that no one expected anything from. John, you know what they did?
What did they do?
They took their advantage of the moment, and John, after losing... In this instance, as the number one seed in the Great Midwest Tournament, you know what they did?
What did they do?
They went to the NCAA Tournament, John, as a sixth seed. You know what they did after that?
What?
They beat Louisville. You know what they did after that?
What?
They beat Purdue on a last-second putback by David Vaughn. You know what they did after that?
What?
They went to the Sweet 16.
Go Tigers.
Again, this was a team coming off Larry Finch's only losing season. In 11 at Memphis. No one expected it. Now, it was talented, John Martin. I will say that a little bit. He had four NBA dudes on that squad. Okay?
Yeah.
Four NBA dudes.
Who were they?
Lorenzen Wright.
Yep.
Cedric Henderson.
Yep.
Chris Garner played for two teams, Toronto and the Raptors. Cedric Henderson, Lorenzen Wright, and David Vaughn.
Yes.
Got them all?
Yes.
And yet, it was a guy who didn't make it to the NBA, John, that nearly led them to the Elite Eight. Do you know what his name was?
What?
Jim Nantz once called him the amazing Mingo Johnson. If you'd like to read about it, you can go over to theathletic.com right now. Dude, I feel like I'm living in 94, 95 right now. And John, last night it had me bubbling because, again, you can look at a team. Sometimes we can see a Sweet 16 running, a run coming, right, John?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can see. That was not one of those years.
Yeah.
This is not one of those years.
Right.
You understand that?
Yes.
And that's where I'm leaving it.
Mingo Johnson is the catalyst for this run in 2019.
You might be saying, Jason, that sounds like a reach.
Yes.
Okay? And it is. It is. However, we're doing a blitz over at The Athletic on shining moments in the NCAA tournament as we get there. Okay? And in a program where we've had many great success stories, many great years, many great runs in the NCAA tournament, here is one, John. Are you okay? Not talked much about. This team was a Chris Garner garbage hand check foul call on Corey Beck away from going to the Elite Eight, where it would have knocked off Virginia, John. You'd have been talking about another Final Four appearance. My point of all this is that sometimes you just don't know. This man had to restart it.
It's a great.
Because it was such a tale. Thank
you for that.
I was getting worried over here.
Thank you for that story, Papa. That was a great story.
Now y'all know a little bit more about your Tiger history.
Well, it is amazing that you just whose idea was it to do this story? I mean, did you just pick out Mingo Johnson out of?
Well, here was the assignment for all of us that cover beats for The Athletic was, hey, has there been a moment in the program you cover's history where maybe a guy who wasn't highly touted, right, maybe didn't have the big NBA career afterwards or a career at all, was there a moment for him in the tournament? And you go back and you look through it, and I remember it to this day. In 1995, I'm out of high school. I've lost my scholarship up at TSU. My life is going nowhere.
Yeah.
And Mingo Johnson, out of nowhere, a guy that averaged 10 points, John. You tell me, does this fit the assignment?
Yeah.
A guy that averaged 10 points that season. He's the one of two Nashville guys on the team, but Vaughn had been here.
Yeah.
He was a Memphian. He was Finch's nephew.
Yeah.
He's a family already. They bring Mingo in from outside, from Nashville, Aquinas College in Nashville. He played a high school there. He comes in, doesn't do much that season, about 10 points per game. Busts out for 32 against Arkansas in that game. Has them right there, John. They're up double digits in the second half, about to beat the defending national champions. People remember this, but we don't talk about it much because
talk about that team.
This, you should go look at it.
I'm reading the story right
this
now.
Forget my story. Go look at how many people wrote about this phantom hand check foul call on Chris Garner at the end of that game. A game, again, Mingo Johnson got 32, career-high night for him. He could not be stopped. That allows Corey Beck to go to the line in the closing seconds, tie it up with one free throw. He makes one of the two. They tie it, go to force regulation. Justin Wimmer's three at the end of regulation doesn't go in. Larry wants a goaltend call, doesn't get it. They go to overtime. Arkansas rolls. It goes on to advance to its second consecutive national championship game. Folks don't remember, Memphis had those folks on the ropes.
That is, of all the Memphis teams.
That's what I'm saying. We do not talk about that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we definitely do not talk about it.
And it didn't look, I mean, you're talking about a team that wasn't ranked all year long. That team never cracked the top 25. I mean, again, you're coming off Larry's worst season. Deuce Ford quits 11 games of the year. Just, it didn't have the look of a special season.
Exactly.
And yet, to kind of put a bow on this, this is that time of year where you can do something special. And we all realize how tough it will be for Memphis this week to win in four games in 4 days. You have a great advantage with FedEx Forum here. But, hey, man, this is where history is written. And with the way Jeremiah Martin's playing, why not write some more? Go ahead and do it.
That was
now
beautiful.
That was good timing. There's the end, the chimes at the end of the song.
Well, thank you.
That reminded me of...
That was challenging.
A sports reporter's essay. You know, at the end of the show, they always
sports
have
reporters.
The essay.
Watch
you know,
that show all the time.
Yeah,
I used to.
That was very much like that, and so I applaud you. I'm done joking about Mingo and you being my black grandfather.
Well, you can go to sleep now, little one.
But it is true. These are the times in college basketball where legends are made. Whether it's Ali Frukmanesh, right? When he hit the shot for Northern Iowa.
Yep. Not sure you're pronouncing that correctly, but pretty close.
I think that's how you say it. I don't know what he. I think he's an assistant coach now. If you want to feel old.
That was one of those moments.
Yeah.
Though,
I mean, exactly.
Like, he did nothing.
We've had good memories. We've had bad memories. Obviously, Darius Washington in the conference tournament. You know, these are the times when all eyes are on college basketball, and all eyes will be on Memphis. Certainly here in Memphis, and if they get to Saturday. Right, if they can manage to get past a plucky Tulane team and then win on Friday against what we believe will be UCF, they can get to Saturday. I agree. I was listening to Jeff and Gary talk about this yesterday. The nation won't wait for Memphis to punch its ticket to the tournament before they become a big story. If they can get to Saturday, when mm-hmm. they'll be on national television against Houston, right, for a chance to get to Sunday,
yeah.
I think that's when the nation will flock and say, oh, my goodness, like, look at Memphis again. Look at Memphis. They've equaled their win total from last year with a much more difficult schedule. They've got a supernova guy in Jeremiah Martin who's scoring 30 a game. You know, all eyes around the nation, I think, will start to focus on the University of Memphis and Penny Hardaway.
Can we talk about some disrespect real fast?
Sure.
We all want this for Memphis to make this NCAA tournament, get back to where we feel like this program belongs, but realize that if it comes up short, it's a process, and you'd still be, I think, happy with the season so long as you don't lose today, even if you get to just tomorrow. That said, I think we all, you want to call it, you know, when you pull for these guys individually, all that, we all want the best for all these players.
Yeah.
And we certainly want this tournament for Jeremiah Martin. Here's another reason why we should want this tournament for Jeremiah Martin. We've had Rob Doster on for NBC Sports. He comes on, and he knows how good the Jeremiah Martin story, and we love hearing him tell, because he's one of those guys that can go out and tell the rest of the nation that's not watching.
Right.
But according to SI, put out top 50 college basketball players. And how is Jeremiah Martin, with the season he's had this year, not there?
Oh, that's a shame.
It is.
That's a shame.
You've led your conference, a conference that's the best it's ever been, from top to bottom, in scoring.
Yeah.
You tied with Shiz Alston. You led in scoring, 19.7 points per game, right? And you've had a month of February that just about everybody in the country should have taken a look at, and most did. And you're not one of the top 50. So my point is, I want it for that. I want
to go to show you how far Sports Illustrated's fallen.
Get to Saturday, right? To your point, so it becomes even more of a national story. Memphis being in the conference semifinals in FedEx Forum. Get to Saturday, freaking get to Sunday and win the thing. Go as far as you can, so everyone, as many people as possible, can see this story.
Yep.
About Jeremiah Martin, who we've talked to everybody, even Frank Haith. The opposition says this is what it's all about in college basketball. A guy that comes as one thing,
yeah,
develops entirely into something else. He grows and becomes better, both as a player,
absolutely,
and as a young man and leader.
Absolutely.
That's what this is about. And so for Jeremiah, for Keevan, for Mike, for all the seniors who it will end this month at some point, you figure, go as far as you can, man, because this is a – you know, we've got the NBA that we all love, and guys get, but you do this for a different reason. You do this for these kinds of stories, for this kind of loyalty. This is why you root for your program. And so again, you know, it's a tough job you've got ahead of you. But like we said, there's nothing that says you can't do it.
My question to you would be:
show the nation you can. Yeah.
Who will be
who Jeremiah Martin is?
Who will be the 2019 Mingo Johnson?
So you're trying to be funny.
Will it be Kareem Brewton?
Now, I've already had people texting me saying they enjoyed that.
I
and
enjoyed.
You're making fun of it.
No, I'm not. It's just a random person that you have chosen to spotlight. It's just a very random.
Well, that's what the assignment was.
I know. You did it.
John.
No. I enjoyed this. I want to make that very clear.
Was there
another
random person in that assignment that would have been a better pick?
Yeah, like Derek Chu. You might as well just have profiled Derek Chu, man.
He didn't do anything in a tournament.
Yeah, but just the...
You got to do something in the tournament.
The quick hook he got in Madison Square Garden, you know, he was never heard from again. Real quick, when I was at the Daily Helmsman, I reached out to him on...
Disrespect Mingo, man.
On Facebook, and I asked him... You know, this was maybe 9 years ago. I asked him if I could catch up with him for an article about, you know, that moment.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't want to talk. He said he still didn't want to talk about it.
See, I remember things like the Chris Garner hand check phantom foul call that cost Memphis a chance to go to the Elite Eight and probably further, because they would have played a weakened Virginia team. And you remember things like Derek Chu's shot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, listen.
That's the fundamental difference between us.
Yes. I guess I focus on the blunders, and you focus on the wonders.
The trivial. Oh, I like that.
You focus on the wonders, and I focus on the blunders, and that's why we're yin and yang, and that's why you're my black grandfather. You know, so.
I prefer your black father. I like you saying that.
You're only 42 though, and I'm about to be 28. So you'd have had to be a really young dad, which is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely, I guess, possible.
Ben, are you feeling it? You feeling 4-4?
I'm feeling good.
You feeling foxy?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
He got his Memphis hat on. He's ready.
This is
John's got his suit on.
You ready for my hot take?
This is the best dress you've been in 2019.
I agree with that.
Get ready.
This
Tiger Nation.
Yes.
John's ready to cover this game. What's up?
My hot take is if the Tigers make it to Sunday, they win the whole thing. If I don't care who the opponent is. I don't care if they get to Sunday.
That's good because their toughest game will be Saturday.
Yeah, I think if they win Saturday, they're gonna what's gonna prevent them from winning the thing?
Possibly legs.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we can't just throw this to the 19 and 20 year olds. You know, I love Doster. That's why I asked him as a former athlete. You know, he did it for the most part. You know, you're young and no problem. This hasn't been done, and there's a reason this doesn't get done very often when you've got to win 4. 3 in 3 days, one thing. 4 and 4. I would imagine you start feeling those legs in the second half.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. That's why you hope that today is not.
But I'm with you. I'm with you that if you get past Houston in the semis.
Cronin is, he's crazy and they're reeling, and he's like, you know, saying he wants football players to try out. You know, like they got problems up there.
They have the look of a team that's on its way to a bad ending.
No doubt. Yeah. They're going to be a first-round exit again.
And Temple doesn't scare you on that side
either. You've beaten Temple here at home. Mm-hmm. So the only team that you really are quote-unquote afraid of is Houston. If you had a choice, you would have much rather them been on the other side of the bracket and not met them until the finals. What'll be interesting, though, is, and maybe it's just ridiculous, but there's just no way – if they beat UCF and then they beat Houston but lose on Sunday, they can't get in the conversation for the tournament. You know what I mean? They'd be 21-12. Is a UCF win at home not a quad one at this point?
Yes, I imagine it would be.
So it's a quad one. Houston would be. It'd be 2 quad one wins on the way to Sunday.
Okay, it's got to be top 30 at the net, so we can check that easily. Is UCF still top 30 with the net? We think. I mean, after the back to back wins over ranked opponents,
top 30.
I think they. My guess is that they still are. But you're trying to get back into the at-large conversation.
I mean, I'm just saying
many,
it.
You already had the St. Mary's beating Gonzaga. Like, you're going to have too many.
Right. What did I see yesterday?
UCF is 28th.
Two at 28th, so it would be a quad one. What did I see yesterday? Like, the stat was 2 out of 11 of the one seeds or something like that have actually won their conference tournament. So a bunch of those other teams that would, you know, lower that have earned the automatics.
Yeah. I mean, if Memphis is 21-12 going into Sunday, they would have just picked up two quad one wins against UCF and Houston. I mean, no prayer.
I don't think so because
you'd be in the conversation. Bet you'd be among those first ones out.
And you're probably going to have more upsets in some of these conference tournaments that are going to hurt at large chances.
Fair. I just want to, you know, I just want to make sure I know what I'm doing this week. Like, I have no prayer of getting on the bubble, even if I don't win the thing. You know, I guess not. I guess y'all are telling me there's no chance.
I wouldn't say no prayer just because of Memphis's net ranking.
What right, they're still 53rd.
It's 50. It's still 53.
And they played a good schedule. You know, they were. I mean, if you watched them play this year, they were in the. They had the lead for the majority of the game against Texas Tech. Cincinnati.
I just think you set yourself up for disappointment if you're sitting there biting your nails after making it to the conference final and hoping for Sunday.
Realistically, you're hosting an NIT game.
And the problem is too many of your wins are quad four wins.
Right.
And not enough quad one. While you've played a lot of quad one games.
Right.
You haven't, the only one you've got, if I'm not mistaken, is still UCF, right?
Yes, UCF. Yeah. But it'll be interesting if they can beat Houston on Saturday and they don't end up winning the thing.
It'd be close, man.
But I think they will win on Sunday if they get past Houston. That's just what I believe. So, anyway, do it for Mingo.
Yeah, Memphis 1-8 in quad one games. 9-0 in quad four.
Do it for Mingo this week. That's what he would want, you know, that kind of a run.
Man, it was fun to go back through that.
It was fun.
I mean, again, you're talking
about. Did you have a beeper?
Did I have a, excuse me?
In 94, did you have a beeper?
I think beepers were done at that point.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. I think you're being a little, beepers died in the late 80s, pretty sure.
Okay, I thought.
Oh, no, they were still early 90s. In the 90s. Yeah. So I remember my
Yeah, I mean,
mom
I remember
dad
a beeper.
One.
Wasn't right. This, we're talking mid 90s now. So, 95, beepers were dead. Fairly certain.
How did a beeper work?
I don't know, Jason. I think that
95.
I think that beepers were around until then.
I think they were definitely around in the mid 90s. I remember my dad.
I didn't have a beeper
one.
In 95.
What did you do with a beeper?
What do you mean?
What did you do with it?
You put.
Could you only receive? You couldn't do anything. You just receive things.
Yeah.
It was just people
who
said call
number,
you,
yeah.
Call me. It was instead of, you know, non cell phone days.
So it would people would call you from like a house phone and did you press a button to leave a certain message?
You go to pay phone. You can put emergency on that thing with little messages.
Uh-huh.
All that
I'm pretty
stuff.
Sure before the technology went away that you could write little texts.
You could write little texts.
Oh, really?
Figure it out.
Yep.
how to get creative with it.
It was the text message before the text.
Then you get you get a little payphone. You make the call.
How about that? That was a different time, bro. That's a different time.
Maybe it did go that late, Bennett.
I think it did.
We need mid-90s? To go. We need to go back to simpler times question. Like
you
that.
Never had a pager though.
Oh, I had. I mean, I had a couple, but you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Again, I'm not a professional at that point. So
how much did they cost?
Not much.
They weren't very expensive.
No. Okay. Get them at the corner store.
Okay.
Over in North Memphis.
Pretty okay, cheap. Very cool, man. Read the article over at The Athletic.
Very kind,
it's,
John.
It's a very good one. It's that kind of a team. Maybe it's like this one, right? Not much expectation from the beginning of the year. They end up making a Sweet 16 run, and many argue it should have been longer.
Yep.
Maybe we talk about this team in the same light. When we come back, Mark Adams is going to join us. We will talk to him. He is a college basketball analyst from ESPN. We'll ask him his thoughts on Memphis and the conference tournament when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And later today, downtown in Memphis, Tennessee, the American Athletic Conference Tournament will kick off. Mark Adams is here. He, of course, is a college basketball analyst for ESPN, one of our favorites, and he joins us now. Mr. Adams, how you doing, man?
Jason and John, good. I'm playing a little bit of hurt, so hang with me on my voice, but I promise you I will be 110% tonight.
We need you healthy. There's no question about it.
Just happy to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so in terms of this tournament, obviously you're here for the AAC tournament. How intriguing is it from just a bid stealer perspective? Maybe they're lurking in the University of Memphis. You've got some top teams in Houston and Cincinnati. How interesting is this tournament from a national perspective?
You know, there's so many great storylines. I mean, the Fran Dunphy storyline of his last hurrah at Temple, mm-hmm. and you know, earning an NCAA bid, and I believe they've already earned an NCAA bid. You've got UCF, which has been a bridesmaid in the conference, where they've been the NIT team, but now they've earned a bid to the NCAA tournament. Cincinnati limping across the finish line, losing to UCF, and then losing at home convincingly to Houston. Will they be able to bounce back? I mean, Mick Cronin went into his press conference asking football players to try out for the team after the game. That's how bad it was in Cincinnati about a week ago. And then you've got, of course, Houston and Kelvin Sampson, who's my pick for National Coach of the Year. What a tremendous comeback story on so many levels for Kelvin personally, for the university itself, with the Fertitta Center. I mean, when you talk about where he's come from 5 years ago to where he is today, it's truly an amazing story. And then you've got the big X factor that every Tiger fan is excited about. You know, will the American be a 4-bid or a 5-bid conference? Now, we know how good Memphis is, especially in that building. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah Martin was my pick for the American Player of the Year. He dominated every stat category as he went through the American Conference schedule. And so, you know, it's just going to be so much fun. I've seen Memphis Tiger fans walking around town this morning as I went out to get a coffee. Everybody's excited. I'm excited. You're excited. It's just a great place to be for college basketball.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah, it's nice to have meaningful basketball in the city of Memphis again. There's no question about it. In terms of what has to happen for Memphis, they're going to have to more than likely, I mean, anything can happen in March, so upsets do happen. But on paper, they're going to have to get through a team like Houston to get to the championship game. And then likely there they will meet potentially Cincinnati, though, again, things can happen. For Memphis to get this tournament berth and to win 4 games in 4 days, what has to happen, Mark?
Well, for Memphis, first of all, if they get past tonight, and we all anticipate they will, as Tulane is winless, then they face UCF. Then it becomes a matter of a battle of wills. Who can create pace? You know, Memphis, obviously, there's two kinds of coaches, whoa and go. And Penny's a go. And Johnny's a little more of a whoa. Now, UCF can get up and down, but they're not going to want to run with Memphis. And so who can exert their will? You know, can Memphis get out 94 feet, cause live ball turnovers, and allow Jeremiah Martin to do his thing before Taco Fall gets down there and the force field takes its place within 10 feet of the basket in every single direction?
Right.
You know, so that's going to be the biggest key in that game to watch for. Is it a 60-point game or is it an 80-point game? The higher it goes toward 80, the bigger advantage it is toward Memphis.
Yep.
And then you've got Houston, which that to me, that's going to be an absolute dogfight. I mean, one thing about Houston, you know, is that they're going to bring their best effort. They are rabid dogs defensively, and Kelvin Sampson won't have it any other way. But here's the biggest key in that game. It's not who starts for Houston. It's how Memphis can match up with Houston when they go to their bench.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got Tyler Harris in the game and you got Alex Lomax in the game, you got two guys that are my size. Versus Houston, who brings Dejon Giroux, who's 6'5",
right.
Cedric Alley, who's 6'5", and Nate Hintons, who's 6'5". So you've got some matchup problems there, and I would think that Penny would probably go some zone in that circumstance simply because of some matchups. But that also creates some issues for Memphis because now you got a guy like Nate Hinton who can bang the three ball, Cedric Alley, who can also bang the three ball, who are 6'5 guys shooting over 5'10", 5'11 guys, and so they can see the basket. So there are some real serious matchup issues mm-hmm. for Memphis. But if Memphis matches Houston's intensity, and I hate saying that because I'd rather give you something a lot more specific. Mm-hmm. You know, because analysts say, oh, they play hard. I mean, that's a bunch of bullcrap. Everybody plays hard, but you got to play harder. And Houston does play so hard. That's what they're known for. So if they can match that and then get out in the open court, allow their smaller guards, especially to come off the bench, make some plays, and that building gets rolling,
yep.
then all of a sudden Memphis will rise to the occasion. That's a big key in that game.
Mark, we know Jeremiah Martin's on a roll and figure he will have to continue it for Memphis to get to where it wants to go to this week. But is there an X-factor player for you if you were picking one? Is it one of those freshmen that you just mentioned? Is it Keevan Davenport, who sort of had a lull here at the end of the year? Who's got to step up along with Jeremiah? I realize it'll have to be a group effort, but is there an X-factor guy for you?
You know, a guy that has caught my eye recently, and you and I, you know, Jason and John, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, Alex Lomax is an unsung hero of this basketball team. And listen, I understand the height, and I think Tyler Harris is going to be a really good player.
Yeah.
But Alex Lomax is a plus-minus guy. When he's in the game, it seems that Memphis plays different and plays better because he's selfless. He plays defense. He gets steals. He revs up that engine that Penny wants to get into a little bit of rev motor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's a big key. And then Davenport, you know, he's a differentiated talent in the marketplace. I mean, he's a guy that can run. He can jump. When he's engaged, I mean truly engaged,
yep.
then Memphis becomes a different kind of team because of his talent level. And then always their X-factor guy. You know, for every Batman, you need kind of a Robin. And while Rainier Thornton is sort of a poor man's Robin in some way because Batman is so doggone good, you know, and
yeah.
Jeremiah Martin, but Rainier Thornton's going to have to play the tournament of his life for Memphis to win this thing, and he's capable. He's strong. He can shoot it. He can go get you offensive rebounds. Those are three guys to me mm-hmm. that have to play at the top of their game to beat a Houston or beat a Temple or beat a Cincinnati as they go down, you know, through this bracket.
Yeah, I agree with that. We are, of course, talking to Mark Adams, college basketball analyst for ESPN, going to be in town this weekend for the AAC tournament. I want to go back to Houston, and specifically Kelvin Sampson, who you mentioned as your pick for the coach of the year. Obviously, if you coach or if you cover the AAC, we everybody understands that it's better for the league, right, for him to stay in the AAC and at Houston. But if you were an AD at a Power 5 job, whether it's a job like Arizona or any of these jobs that may or may not come open,
mm-hmm.
How long of a look do you give Kelvin Sampson, Mark?
Well, I know Kelvin well. I'm not sure if you guys know our background, but we met when we were 25-year-old head coaches. He was head coach at Montana Tech when I was head coach at Rocky Mountain College, and we became best of friends. We aligned together to help each other to win in the old Frontier Conference up in Montana. My team beat his team to go to the national tournament in 1985. And get this, Kelvin Sampson went with me to support my team.
Wow.
Okay. I worked for Kelvin for 2 years at Washington State as his defensive coordinator. So I've known Kelvin for a long, long time. And there's one thing about Kelvin I know now more than ever. And listen, everybody grows in their life, right? Mm-hmm. I've made my mistakes. Kelvin has admitted to his mistakes, and he paid a steep price, especially compared to what we see going on in college basketball today. Yeah. I mean, he deserves to be at Houston. He deserves to get the accolades he's gotten. And Kelvin Sampson is a really, really good person. Trust me. His heart has always been in the right place. Again, we all make mistakes, and he made his, and God dang it, I've made mine too. But the bottom line is you can't mess with happy. He's got a great situation as Houston. He has built that now into a national powerhouse. Mm-hmm. They built the Fertitta Center. His family, Lauren is his marketing coordinator, and Kellen is one of his top assistants on the bench. His wife, Karen, loves Houston. I mean, it's going to take a heck of a situation for Kelvin Sampson. He did consider the Orlando job in the NBA last year. Right. And I talked about that during that time. And he just, in the end, he just said, Mark, I just don't want to mess with happy. You know, I'm happy here. And Kelvin has never been a guy that's chased a dollar bill. You know, he's always been a guy. I mean, we're still talking about the guy that coached at Montana Tech. That's the guy that I know. And he doesn't care about brand name. He cares about where his family is happy, especially now in his life, and where he can make the greatest difference. And not just on the basketball court. You've seen what he's done in Houston. When the hurricane hit, who was the first guy to go to war for that city? It was Kelvin Sampson.
Sure was.
And those people remember that now. You know, I think it's going to take some kind of a tremendous off-the-wall offer for him to even consider it. But I just don't see him leaving Houston. I mean, you can never say never. And loyalty and those kinds of things don't run very deep in college basketball or anything else, it seems, in our society today. But this guy is old school. He loves it there. I think he's going to be at Houston for a long time.
Yeah, it would certainly be a good thing for the conference if that is the case. Mark, always appreciate
really
the
appreciate
time.
Really appreciate you
man.
Doing this for
have
us,
Have like, some hot tea or something so we can have you healthy.
Thanks, guys. You guys do a great job. And listen, I haven't met you face-to-face, so if you have time, please come over and say hi to me.
Looking forward to it.
We will absolutely do it, Mark. See you
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Yep, he is Mark Adams. And I agree. I think there was some there's a powerful message there when you say you can't mess with happy. You see that more and more in college sports now, right? Guys are turning down what people may perceive to be more prestigious jobs because they have a great situation where they are, you know, and they're comfortable where they are.
The thing that would change for Kelvin going to one of those big boy jobs is the expectation level. Does he want to get back in the
right.
in the pressure cooker? Like I said, you've built this Houston thing up to where now it's basically your work. Now you've got better resources down there. Like we said, you've remodeled the practice facility in the Fertitta Center. I'd the deal. Sure, love to see him stay for a few more years for the AAC and what that means if you can keep him there.
Yeah.
But I would not. Come on. That's the thing about those Power Fives. They can make it look good real quick with that dollar bill, brother.
Yeah, and you know he's 63 years old. You know, I mean, when you're 63 years old, what kind of urgency do you have to chase something new? You know, to start over somewhere else, even if it is a quote unquote better job. You know, I mean. He's been doing this for a long, long time, and he's set up to have success there at Houston. The league is getting better. The perception of the league, it seems, is changing. Penny's going to get Memphis where it needs to be.
I mean, if he believes he can win a national championship there, there's no reason to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can be a 2 seed or a 3 seed in the tournament, then why can't you win one?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how involved he gets in the coaching carousel after this season. All right. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on Jason and John. Nathan Hoover, the Wofford guard, the sharpshooter from Wofford, is going to join us at 12:25. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
side of the bed. Cooler than the other side of the pillow, yeah. Act a fool because there's nothing to prove because the proof is...
Our friends over at the Live Love Memphis Group got some news for you. They are currently working with an investor who is paying cash for homes that are not on the market in Shelby County and in DeSoto County. So if you're thinking about selling your home and you don't want to deal with the stress of getting it ready to go on the market, all that preparation, then they would love to hear from you.
That's right.
All you have to do is send your address in an email to investor@livelovememphis.com, and the team at Live Love Memphis Group is going to do a free analysis.
That's right. There's absolutely no obligation to sell, nor will you be hassled to sell. That's not how they do business over at Live Love. The Live Love Memphis Group will simply tell you what the investor will pay, right? And that's the information you need. And then it's up to you from there. See how much cash you could get from your home today by emailing your home address to investor@livelovememphis.com. Again, that address is investor@livelovememphis.com. Why not know, John Martin?
Yep. All right, so yesterday, obviously, the Memphis Grizzlies played a game. Unfortunately, they did take the L. They took that L in Atlanta last night, which puts a, or should put a big dent in the run it back plan, and I think should get people closer to your plan, which was tank for ticket. There was one good thing that happened, though.
What? Well, I mean, Washington won. What was good about last night?
There was some, you know.
Please give me some good news.
There's a concrete rose.
I'm sorry?
Is that the appropriate way of putting it? A rose emerged from the concrete?
Yeah.
Last night at the game, I guess at some point, like during a break, like during a, you know, timeout or whatever, there was a Grizzlies fan.
Oh, yeah.
A Memphis Grizzlies fan who actually is a listener of the show. And I obviously learned this after it hit Twitter, because you're not going to see this on the broadcast. But one of our listeners and one of our friends here on the show had a question. He had a question for his lovely girl. You know how they do, right? They go out to the middle of the court, and I don't know what the jig was, right? Like what they said they were going out on, because you have to kind of hide these things, right?
Right.
But this is actually what happened on the court last night at the, what's the arena called?
State Farm Arena.
State Farm Arena in Atlanta.
Found Harry, and wait a second.
Will you grin and grind with me forever and ever, babe?
Is that a yes? Guys!
Yeah, so there you go. Will you grit and grind with me forever? It was a yes. And
much respect for the Grizzlies fans doing that in the
absolutely
State Farm Arena.
No question about it. You can find love anywhere.
Yeah.
Our man's name is Riaz Mangiani, and he joins us now. Riaz, what's going on, man? Congratulations.
Thank you so much, and of course, I'm a big fan of Jason and John's show.
Well,
been listening
you
to y'all for years and years. I think she's kind of tired of, you know, of me listening to all the sports radio every time we hang out. But yeah, thank you so much. It really means a lot.
Yeah. So, are you living in Atlanta now? How did this all come to pass?
Yeah. So I'm in physical therapy school in Virginia. So she's a resident of Atlanta.
Gotcha.
And so we've been long distance for 8 years now. We've lived together in Atlanta for a little bit. But one thing that we have in common, is our love for the Grizzlies and our love for each other. And it was my spring break, and it just worked out so perfectly. She knows, like, I would never go to a Hawks game just randomly.
Right.
And it just so happened during my spring break on her day off on a Wednesday, the Grizzlies were playing in Atlanta. I mean, it was, the stars were all lined up for me, really.
What did she think was happening? Did she have a clue, do you think?
She's sitting right next to me, and I think when we had the conversation, she had absolutely no clue.
That's awesome.
I was able to, and she's one of those girls, like, she's able to, you know, think about a secret and, like, really, like, have a suspicion, but I was able to maneuver in such a way where I just wanted this to be her day, and that's what we did. And so I guess those distractions really helped, helped the whole cause.
Dude, the execution was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So how did you
us all proud.
Did you reach out to the Hawks and say, hey, I want to do this? I'm always curious.
Yeah, and it was just, I knew a friend who knew a friend.
Gotcha.
And he just connected me with her. We sent an email out, They really loved, like, I had the whole Find the Harry the Hawk. I mean, the idea of the game was mine. And so, like, when I explained that in the very first email, they were really excited about it. Because I guess they haven't had something like that over there before. And they really wanted, they were actually pushing me to making it happen, because honestly, it was like a backup plan for me, just in case it didn't, like, my first plan didn't work out. And it just so happened my first plan didn't. And so, like, when they really started to push me for it, I was like, all right, I'm just going to go with it.
Did you tell them? Were you transparent about the fact that you are a Grizzlies fan?
I was very transparent. I think from the second or third email, I let them know ahead of time, hey, look, I lived in Memphis. I am a Grizzlies fan. But the only thing that they said was, just don't wear anything Grizzlies, or, like, just don't, like, mention,
right,
like, you know, anything about the Grizzlies, what, like, when you're on this.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I think that was fair. And I wanted to still express my feelings.
You nailed it.
In such a way that the city of Memphis would recognize, you know, like, because I'm from Memphis, man. I love my city, and I'm just so happy I was able to put that towards our relationship.
Yeah. I'm just glad you didn't say, will you tank for a big ticket with me, or tank for Anthony. I'm glad you said, let's grit and grind. I mean, she might have said no. I got a lot of people telling me they don't want to tank. You think she wants to tank?
No, she's all in. She's
okay.
All in.
I get you, bro.
Yeah, it was a very cool moment. So what's the plan now? You guys are working on
when
setting
you're
a
doing
date.
It.
Yeah, what's next?
I know it is. It is. And it's funny, they didn't catch this on video first, but like I said, we've been together for about eight and a half years. And the first words I said before I went down on my knees was, it's about damn time. And I think it relates well, because everybody around us was getting married and everybody was just looking at us like, all right, dude, like, you're 29. Like, come on, make a move. Like, it's been 8 years. Like, do something. Like, you know, it's about time. And I think those words, again, were reminiscent of last night. But, yeah, our plan is to finish out grad school. We're both in grad school, and hopefully, once I become a licensed physical therapist, I'll be back in Memphis, hopefully working in the greater Memphis area, giving back to my Carville community, my Germantown community, and hopefully she'll be with me along for the ride, and we'll be hopefully Grizzly season ticket holders, and be continuing to attend Grizzlies games, and all the other sports that are taking over Memphis, like soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you just said, so
kind of
we're
the
excited.
Yeah. Don't
we're
need
excited.
To mention the Express. No need.
Yeah, you don't have to mention the Express. Yeah, you caught yourself.
Dude, congratulations. Congratulations,
thank you.
Man. That's huge.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That
this
was
means a lot.
Yeah, that was a cool moment, man. Appreciate the time, and congratulations to both of you, Riaz. Appreciate it, boss.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jason.
Yes, sir.
He
take care.
Riaz Mangiani. Cool moment last night. And it, honestly,
that
cool.
Was cool. I'm glad you got him on.
Cool of the Hawks, right? To know he's a Grizzlies fan and to just say, you know what, let's do it anyway. You
right.
know, very like if you would have seen that at the Grizzlies game and it had been a Hawks fan on the, you know, the other way around, you'd be like, what the, you know, but it you know, very cool of the Atlanta organization to facilitate that for sure.
I did mine on a riverboat on the Mississippi.
Oh, the casino boat?
Mm-hmm. No, it was not a casino boat. It's just like a dinner boat.
It's a dinner boat.
Yeah, it was a dinner boat cruise on the Mississippi. I think it was out of Tunica, but it wasn't a gambling boat.
Are there still gambling boats? Do they still exist?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
They're not in Memphis, though.
We know you did yours at what, Lichterman or Sherwood or something?
Sherwood.
Sherwood Forest.
Yeah, I did it at Sherwood. Actually, I did it at Sherwood Middle, as a matter of fact.
Lichterman. Where'd you were? You were in Nature
No,
time.
We went to Go 8.
No, that's where right. I got married.
Where were you?
Lichterman.
You got married at Lichterman.
No, we're talking about where you proposed.
Okay. Well, no, he's so sorry. He was straightening me out on maybe that's what I was thinking about with Lichterman. Now, where did you propose, Bennett?
At my apartment.
Very
and
romantic.
Did you do candles and petals? No, it was a video proposal.
A video proposal?
Tell us a little more, please. I'm intrigued.
So,
was a dog in it?
No, it was a...
good, because those are lame.
All right, calm down.
Yeah, it needs to be about you, not the dog. Don't use the props.
Dog's part
Let's
of the
keep
family.
Going, Ben, and I like this.
So it was, my wife is a big Harry Potter fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so what I did was I got some video equipment, and I took a Harry Potter DVD, and I edited it. I put a blank disc in there, and it's...
Careful.
And so the movie cuts off. like a couple minutes into it, and it's me saying, will you marry me?
So wait, so did you say Carol?
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.